I want you to look with me in two places. Both are pretty easy to find. They're in the Gospels. And both stories are stories that if you've been a Christian any time at all, you're going to be familiar with. But I'm going to bring out two verses in those stories that go hand in hand with the sermon today. And so if you'll look with me in Luke 19 and in John 4, I'd like for you to stand with me. And I'm going to kind of paint you a picture of what's going on here, of course. In Luke's Gospel, chapter number 19, of course, a very lengthy chapter, 48 verses. And as you get down to the middle point of the chapter, Jesus begins to ascend and make his way up to Jerusalem. And of course, as he makes his way into Jerusalem, he's already prearranged for the disciples to go get this colt that he's to ride, this animal that's never been tamed by man, of course. And if you want to get the entire story, I would recommend you read verse 28 all the way through 44. But I'm going to be sensitive to our time and move into this today. But I do want to pick up in verse number 37. And the Bible said, "And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And the Bible said, "Some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, teacher, rebuke thy disciples. Tell these people to be quiet." And he answered and said unto them, "I tell you that if these should hold their peace," he said, "if I did tell them to be so quiet," whew, he said, "the stones would immediately cry out." And the Bible said, when he was come near, he beheld the city and he wept over it. But, and I've preached that before, but verse 42, God showed me a little thought here from this and from John 4 that I want to preach to you. Look at verse 42, and here's what he said as he began to weep. He said, "If thou hast known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes." I want you to mark that expression at the beginning of the verse, "if thou hadst known." Now, keep that in mind and go with me to John 4. In John chapter number 4, Jesus is about to encounter a woman who's a Samaritan. And of course, the disciples were headed into town, and if you know any Bible at all, the Jews hated the Samaritans, and the Samaritans hated the Jews. And Samaritans, of course, were the outcast. And he comes across this woman at Jacob's well, and this woman, of course, has been married many times, and of course, she's a Gentile, and she's used to worshiping false gods and false idols in her life. And for sake of time, I want you to look with me down, and let's pick up at verse 10. And the Bible said, Jesus answered and said unto her, I want you to mark this, "if thou knewest." If thou knewest, he said, "the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." Again, he said, "if thou knewest." I want that thought to get in our mind today. And going back to Luke 19 in verse 42, he said, "if thou hadst known." And I want to preach this morning with the help of the Lord on this subject, "if we but knew." Amen. Father, help me today. Lord, I want to get across the message you have given me. And Lord, I need to do it in a timely manner, and I need to do it in a way that would get you the glory and not me. And Lord, I can't do that apart from the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray, God, today that you would just settle down in here, Lord, that your presence would be here. Lord, as I've preached the last couple of Sundays around here, I believe we've all gotten used to your protection. And Lord, we've all gotten used, Lord, to your provision. But God, I'm in a generation, Lord, that's just not seeing your presence. And God, it's not your fault, it's our fault. And God, I need you to show up here today and make your presence known. And And God, that Lord, you would just speak to every person that's here today in a way that I can't. Lord, I'm just a human vessel today. I'm just an instrument. Lord, I'm prone to making any mistake that anybody here today would make. But God, I want you to know I've yielded myself to you today for your glory. And so, Lord, I'm available. And I ask you today to help me do my best for you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. As we read those two lamenting but yet sorrowful words, or word, if Jesus said, if he said in Luke 20, as he spoke to people that had missed out on an opportunity to take advantage of God in the flesh being in their presence. And then in John 4, as he looks at a woman that's never known what it is to worship the true God. And he said, lady, he said, can I tell you something? If you knew who was in front of you, you wouldn't waste this opportunity that you've been given in this life. Amen. As we read that word, if, what wide area of human passion you began to see here. What wide area of earnest regrets that many times we all have in life. And what sharp warning that we hear in those words, if we but knew. Now, stay with me. How often, now here's where I need us all to be honest, whether you're saved or not saved today, because I promise you this message is going to relate to you today. I'm not asking you to join this church. I'm not asking you to give a dime to this church today. I just want you to listen, and I want you to think clearly with me, because I assure you the rubber will meet the road in all of our lives today in this message. How often in this life do we hear the sad but useless excuse, if I had only known. Amen. Amen. If I had only known. See, it's that phrase, Brother Bob, if I had only known, it's one of those helpless pleas that, if we'd be honest, usually always comes too late in life. Right. Amen. Yet if we're all honest today, remember, I'm just looking for honesty today. Have we not all yielded at some point in time to those words? Haven't we often indulged too frequently in those words, if only I had known? Amen? See, early rashness can never be mended by latter remorse. We all take a lot of cruel risk in life. I'd be the first to raise my hand looking back at 46 years of living. I look back and there's a lot of moments in my life. And I have to be honest, I've used that phrase, if only I had known. If only I had known. And too many times I've taken a lot of cruel risk in this life. Amen. What grievous wounds many times we've inflicted on other people in this life. Amen. What bitter hurt we've caused other people in this life down here. And we have to go home at night and say, as we lay our head down on the pillow, if I had only known. Amen. And then we have to find a way many times in life to apologetically begin to endeavor to make it better with people, amen? Or to improve the situation with people, and have to have those words, man, if I had only known. Yes, many a time, if only we had stopped to think. If only we had known. If only we had perceived the real instead of the merely seeming real in our life. That I'm talking about the inward instead of the merely outward that we thought we saw. How different would our feelings be today? Amen. How different our words would be. How different our actions would be if we would have saw the whole picture and only what we thought we saw. Amen. If only I had known. If those Jewish people, as Jesus stood there with tears running down his face, and then people have to later on say, if we had only known. Yeah. Uh-huh. Amen. See, we ought to ponder on that. Well, to ponder on that, I want to jump right into this, and I want you to look back at Luke 19. I want you to write this down, those of you that take notes, and those of you that don't, you ought to take note in your heart today, friend. See, as we ponder on this in relation to our life, I'm talking about if we but knew. Amen. Number one, let's understand life's short-lived opportunities. Life's short-lived opportunities. See, as you look back at Luke 19 in the setting of what's going on here, as Jesus began to look all around, the Bible says, look back at verse number 41, and when he was come near, he beheld the city. And the Bible said there, Brother Alvin, he wept over that city. Amen. You see, here's what's going on. Listen carefully. As Jesus looked all around that day, he found cause for weeping. You see, if he looked back, he saw how Israel had wasted its opportunities and had been ignorant, my friend, of their time of visitation. Jesus came to visit these people only for a little short time period. And as he began to look back over the 33 years that he had lived in a body of flesh here, he began to weep for these people because he saw they had wasted such an opportunity that they had been given, and they'd become ignorant to that time of visitation. Can I tell you something, friend? Life is short down here, and you're going to be here for just a moment, and the number of lives you touch down here, friend, for a little short period of time, you got a little time of visitation where God is going to be willing to meet with you, and God's going to be willing to make his presence known in your life, and then you're going to waste it if you're not careful. And Jesus not only began to look back, Brother Paul, he began to look within, and he saw their spiritual ignorance, and he saw the blindness of the hearts of the people. And they should have known who he was, for God had given them his holy word, and he had sent messengers to help prepare the way. And not only did he look back and look within, but he began to look around, and he saw all this religious activity that accomplished so little. Friend, we live in a day and time with a lot of religious activity around here in other churches, but if we'd be honest tonight, when we lay down on the pillow, we're accomplishing so little. Amen. See, that temple in Jesus' day, that massive structure that took years and years to build, was to be a place where God Almighty got the glory. Not any man, not any religious group, not any little crowd of people that had set themselves up above God himself. And that temple had become nothing but a den of thieves. And the religious leaders, the people that ought to have been setting the example, were out to kill God in the flesh. Amen. And they were celebrating a festival. At this time, there was a festival going on where people should have been praising God, and they had murder in their hearts. Their hearts were heavy with sin, and their hearts were heavy with the burdens of this life. And Jesus began to look ahead. Now listen carefully. And as he looked ahead, he began to weep. You see, he'd looked back. He had looked within. He had looked around. But here's the sad part. As he began to look ahead, and only God can do that, your Bible says he began to weep. He began to cry as he saw judgment that was going to be coming to this nation. As he saw judgment that was going to be coming to the very city of Jerusalem. As he saw judgment that was going to be coming to this massive temple that he was at that day. You see, here's what happened. If you know anything of history, in AD 70, those cruel Romans that they were already in bondage to, that they were already subject to, those Romans would come, and after a siege of 143 days, my friend, they would break and penetrate the city of Jerusalem, and they would kill some 600,000 Jews, and they'd take thousands more captive, and then they destroy that temple, and they destroyed that city. Why would this happen, you say, preacher? Because they would waste the opportunity that God had given them in life. Amen. We stand here today, my friend, in a nation that's full of sin. We stand here today and sit here today in a nation, my friend, that has forgotten how good God's been to it. And only God Almighty knows the future. And only God Almighty knows what's going to happen to this nation. And if we're not careful today as the people, and even as the Christian people in this room today, we're going to waste the opportunity that God has given to us as Christian people. Bible said in John 1:11, speaking of Jesus to these Jews, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. They'll said, we'll not have this man to rule over us. How many of us in this room today have wasted life's short-lived opportunities? I recently read a story this week that kind of helped jar my thinking on this, of how one morning, just before leaving for work, I'm talking about wasted opportunities, just before leaving for work, a husband, as he was getting ready to walk out of the house, he offered his wife a kiss of reconciliation after a misunderstanding between the both of them the night before. And that man's wife refused very coldly to kiss her husband goodbye. And a little over 4 hours later at noontime, she found out he was a dead man. The man turned around on purpose to say, honey, I'm sorry about last night. And that wife had an opportunity to make that thing right, and with a cold heart turned around as if, get out of my life. Amen. And coldly refused. And then when she got word, she began to cry out unbearably, and she began to say, oh God, forgive me. If only I had spoken to him as I should have done. If only, watch, she said, if I'd only known. Yes, if she had only known. I wonder how many of us sitting here today have got a, if I had only known, and now we've got a loved one that's already on the other side of eternity, whether it be in heaven or hell, my friend, and all we can do is walk around the rest of our life with that mindset, with that thinking, if I had only known. But that's it. None of us know. And because of that, we should not presume that we'll see anybody in this room tonight. Amen. I want to be back in church tonight. Do you? But I can't presume that I'll see you tonight at all. That's why we should all strive to let the law of kindness rule our hearts. And the law of kindness rule our tongues. Amen. Notice what your Bible says in the book of Galatians in the New Testament, chapter number 6. Very familiar passages here that many times we just read it and say, well, that's good that God put that there. No, God put that there because He knew the opportunities were going to come in life. And God knew you was going to have an opportunity to be a help, to be an encouragement to somebody, to be a blessing to somebody in this life. And if you're not careful, you're going to waste that opportunity. And you're going to look back and say, if I had only known. And the Bible says here in Galatians 6 and verse number 10, as we have therefore, notice the next word, opportunity. What are we to do with those opportunities that we have in life? The Bible said, let us do good unto all men. How about that? You say, well, I'm going to be good to my family. I'm going to be good to those that are good to me. No, your Bible said, be good unto all men. It didn't say whether they were good to you or not. Come on now, we wonder why our altars shouldn't be more full than what they are. I guess we're just being good to all people all the time, aren't we? Where in reality, we have to sit there or stand here and say, you know what? If I'd only known. Your Bible said, be good unto all men, but now watch. Especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Wait a minute. We should never have a church split. We should never have a church issue that we can't solve. No one in this church on this side should be sitting over here because you're bitter at somebody over there. Hello, Tokyo. As one of the high school boys says at our school, I like it because I just like the way he says it. He'll say, pick up the phone, Tyrone. Hey, look at here. Pick up the phone, Tyrone. Amen. Hey, you bitter on this side at somebody over here. What are you going to do? Wait till they die and I preach their funeral down here and you do show up and say, if I had only known. Come on now. There are people in this room, you hadn't talked to a cousin, you hadn't talked to a parent, you hadn't talked to a sibling, you hadn't talked to a child or your mom and dad because you won't let go of things in life, my friend, and they're going to die one day, or you're going to die one day, and you're going to, would to God you'd have said more than if I had only known. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Your Bible said be good to people. It didn't say be good as long as they're good to you. Sometimes you got to be good to people that don't want to be good to you. Amen? A little poem said, if we but knew that through the closing door someone we love would enter nevermore, would we not hasten with our richest store? But if we only knew. If we but knew some heart beside our own had walked some dark Gethsemane alone, oh, in what bounty would our love be shown if we but knew. I like the little illustration of a little grandchild, a little sweet little girl. Her grandpa, she stood there beside his bed as he breathed out his last breath on this earth. And she took a little hand and was holding his little hand. And his grandpa stepped on out into eternity. She was heard saying, "Dear grandpa, you know that I was always good to you while you were alive." Come on now. You can't be good to them, friend, when they're dead. You can't be good to your mama when she's dead. You can't be good to your daddy when he's dead. Hey, look here, mama, daddy. You can't be good to them kids when they're dead. Come on now. You can't be good to your spouse when they're dead. You ain't going to have opportunity to be good to your brothers and sisters when they're dead. Hello? If you'd be honest in this building today, what some of you in this room today listening to my voice would give to be able to speak to a parent just one more time. To be able to speak to your child just one more time. What you'd like to be able to say to that brother or that sister just one more time. What you'd like to be able to say to that friend just one more time. Amen. Most of us, perhaps as we look back over the years, wish we could take back some unkind words. Wish we could take back some unkind deeds. If we just only known it was going to be the way that it is. That's why everybody in this room, and I'm preaching to me today, every one of us ought to seize the opportunities being kind to people. Amen. While they're here. I said, "Preacher, I wished I could sing." Maybe you can't. But you don't have no reason not to be kind to people. I said, "Man, I wished I could get up there like you and preach the sermon." You may never get that chance. But you can leave this building today and be kind to people. Amen. I don't understand people that say they're Christian people and they're meaner than they was before they said they ever got saved. I was mean before I got saved. But God done a work in my heart that I can only say, to God be the glory. I don't want to be mean to people anymore. I just don't. You say, "Well, you're just a crybaby today." Yeah, I'd rather weep for Jesus, my friend, than weep for this world. My Savior stood over a city and wept with tears running down His face for people that had missed the opportunities in life. And a greater man than me wept, my friend. Hey, I'm just saying. Hey, see, many of us are going to be like D.L. Moody. This true story. You study history, Chicago fires that took place. D.L. Moody told in his own words how he gave an evangelistic address to a large Chicago audience many years ago. And at the end of the sermon, D.L. Moody, supposed to be the greatest evangelist of the last 300-400 years of history, told those people that day to go home and think about accepting Christ as their Savior. And my friend, before the next Sunday rolled around, The great Chicago fire broke out at that time period. And many of those people that D.L. Moody looked in the eye and said, go home and think about it. A lot of those people burned to death in those fires. And many of those people he never even saw again. But story said that after Moody went through that experience in his life, Brother Bob, and all he could do is say, if I had only known. They said it changed D.L. Moody's ministry and his preaching. And he never gave another opportunity for people to ever leave and not make a decision for Christ. Amen. See, opportunities, my friend, many times in life are just here for a day. Sometimes you're just here for an hour. Sometimes just a moment. Listen carefully. And then those opportunities are gone forever. You'll never get them back. You'll never get back an opportunity to tell somebody today, I love you. When you know good and well, you should have told them. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Remember that verse, Galatians 6:10. As we have opportunity. Would you write this second thing down much quicker now? Listen carefully. If we'd only known about life's short-lived opportunities. Can I say second of all? If we'd only known about life's difficult trials. I want you to go into Genesis 42. I want you to see a truth here that most of the time we miss in life. See, if we'd just known how gracious these divine purposes are that God brings our way, the trials that God permits us to go through on earth, if we only knew, we would be more surrendered. If we only knew, we would be more yielded. If we only knew, we'd be more praiseful than what we are when we're going through them. I think any of you that know the Bible at all know by the time you get to Genesis 42, Jacob's had a lot of heartaches in life. Jacob's had a lot of trials. He left in a bad way from home. The day Jacob left home, look at me. Help us, Lord. He left with lies in his heart. He left home lying to his daddy. And he never got a chance to go back home and say, Daddy, I'm sorry I lied to you. And daddy died and went out into eternity. And Jacob stayed on the run for several years. And his life has been one trial after another. And he began to raise a bunch of boys that were just a bunch of rebels. And Jacob at this point in life is reaping all the seed he'd sown in the early years. And by the time you get to Genesis 42, he's took about all a man can take. At least he thinks. You see, there's been a famine. People are starving. And in Jacob's mind, he's already had one son to die, Joseph. He's watched his wife die. And now he's scared in his heart that he's going to watch his grandbaby starve to death. And so he's done what any daddy could do. He got desperate. And he sent them rebellious boys down to Egypt because he heard that somehow or another, miraculously, they had food down there. And when they get down there, there's a leader down there that seems like it's hard to deal with. And as they get down there, that leader don't want those boys doing anything unless they, for some strange reason, bring their baby brother back down. And for sake of time, look what Jacob says. Pick up with me in your Bible here in Genesis 42. And look at verse number 35. The Bible said, it came to pass as they emptied their sacks that behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when both they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. See, Joseph, who was really alive and second in command, had set these boys up just to test them. And they get back home to daddy and they said, "Oh my word, this man thinks we've stolen. We're all going to be killed. They're probably on the way down here now to kill us." And watch what daddy says after all these trials in life. The Bible said in verse 36, "And Jacob their father said unto them, Me have you bereaved of my children. Joseph is not." In other words, he said, my favorite son is dead. I haven't seen him in years. "And Simeon is not. And you will take Benjamin away? You mean you want to take the last little bit of joy I've got in life?" And look what he said. "All these things are against me." You ever felt that way in life? It seems like you get out of one problem, there's another one. And you get out of that one, and before you can even shake it off, there's another one. That's Jacob. He said, "I don't understand it." He said, "Everything in my life is against me." Amen?
Amen.
And I want you to look down just a few pages. And I want you to find Genesis chapter number 46. Or 45 rather. Look at verse 25. See, the very things that Jacob is now groaning and weeping over, if he had only known it, these were leading up to the loveliest of times in life. Because soon after those words were said, he's going to be saying some different words. Look at your Bible, says in verse 25, "And they went up out of Egypt." By this time in history, Joseph has revealed himself to his brothers. And he said, "Go back and tell daddy I'm alive." And the Bible said they head down to the land of Canaan. Look at verse 26, "And told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he's governor over all the land of Egypt." Notice, "And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived." They said, "There's no way these wagons could have came from anywhere other than the richest nation on the planet." And look at verse 28. "And Israel said, It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive, and I'll go and see him before I die." Do you understand, if we'd only known that sometimes the trials that we think, there's no way I'm going to make it through it. But there's a God in heaven that sees down the road what you're not seeing this morning. And you're sitting here today saying, "I don't even know why I'm at church today. I'm just overwhelmed with everything in life." Yeah, Jacob was. But he stayed with it. Amen. I read a story one time, said outside of a church many years ago. Man looked up from the outside and saw all this beautiful artwork on a stained glass window, and there were words at the top. And he couldn't make out those words. They seemed like to be all jumbled up. And the man asked permission to step inside the church. And what he couldn't understand on the outside, as he went on the inside, and he looked up at that beautiful stained glass window, it was only three words. But looking at it on the outside, he couldn't make it out. But as he got on the inside, Brother Paul, it simply said, "God is love." See, sometimes, honey, when you're going through the trials of life, and you got that Jacob mentality, "I'm overwhelmed today," and all you can do is look at it on the outside, you don't see the love of God the whole time working on the inside. Amen? Amen. Would you write this third thing down? I'm just saying, a lot of times if we only saw the beauty in the words that come with our troubles and trials, if we just see it the right way, and we could see the light of heaven shining through that trial, it'd say, God is love. Amen. Write this third thing down quickly. If we'd only known, number three, about life's speech and conduct. If we'd only known about life's speech and conduct, you say, preacher, what do you mean? If we all here today only knew the results of certain words we've used. If we'd only known the end result of certain deeds. How different we'd leave here today and speak. How different we would leave here today and act towards people. Come on now, stay with me. Sad but true story. Said one day a train was carrying a load of passengers, and it was late at night, and it was dark on that train, and on one far end of the train there was a baby crying, and the person holding that baby couldn't get it to stop. And some voice from the far end of the passenger car of that train yelled out, said, won't that child's mother, for goodness sake, keep that baby quiet so we can get some sleep tonight? Sound like some of us sometimes. And on the far end of that train where that baby was crying, another man's voice replied with a sob to it and said, she can't get the baby to be quiet. Because, sir, she's in her coffin on the next car ahead. And he said, I've been trying for the last two nights to get this baby to quit crying. And Brother Paul, the story said that in just a matter of moments, you heard footsteps coming down the center aisle. And that voice that was so harsh said, could I take this baby? And that man held that baby all night so that daddy could try to halfway get some sleep. And the next morning the man come in the daylight where he could see the man's face, and he handed that baby back to its daddy, and he said these words. He said, sir, I'm so sorry I spoke so harshly to you last night. And look what he said. He said, I did not. I'm going to tell you something. Harsh words are not always so easily forgiven as the story that I just told you. See, you might be harsh with somebody this week, and then when you find out after you didn't know, you may not get that right. Amen. If you and I in this room today, if we knew today what tomorrow is going to bring to us, here's my question. How different would we live today? The Bible says, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Amen. Some of you in this room, you think you're going to be alive tomorrow? Your family may call me tonight. You say, well, preacher, I'm young. I ain't even got out of high school. It don't mean anything. Girl that was my best friend in high school. Got to know her in the 7th grade. She's buried right over here in Germantown. Our 11th grade year, she left high school, went down Highway 8, run off the shoulder of the road, went off the other side, hit a tree, killed her. A year ago, I hadn't been to see this girl's grave. I don't know, I just came through Germantown one day and went right by Germantown Baptist Church. And I don't know why, I've never done it. She'd been buried there since 1988 or 89. And I got all the way down there where that little hardware place is on the right. And I don't know why, Brother Paul, I just turned around. Hadn't been thinking about the girl. It was close to the time of year she had died. And I turned my car around and went down there in that cemetery. I hadn't been out there since her funeral. Been 20-some years. And Chastity, for some reason, I parked the car and just started walking through that graveyard, looking for a grave marker of a girl that was just a good friend. But she was a Christian. And there was something different about her when we was in high school than all the other girls. And she lived a short life, never graduated high school. I've said it many times, look here, it's not the duration of your life, it's the donation. And on her grave marker, her family had a picture of her in this little flap that comes down. And I bent down there and I ain't gonna lie, I began to weep. Because I thought to myself that day there at a girl that was just a good friend. And I raised that flap up on that and I looked at her picture and I remembered that picture. And as I got in the car, I said, Lord, here I am still alive. I'm 45 and you took her before she ever got out of high school. I'm glad I was kind to her. Amen. See, many of us don't understand how fast we can be gone. I read a story one time of a preacher who was trying to win a man to Christ. And he invited that man, Brother Alvin, to go play a round of golf with him. And as they were playing golf, the Holy Spirit began to burden that preacher more for that man that he knew wasn't a Christian. And as they got about halfway around the golf course, Brother Robert, they stopped to get a meal together. And as they sat down, the preacher hadn't even brought it up. And the man looked at the preacher and he said, Pastor, I want to thank you for the round of golf today. And he said, I just want you to know, I've been thinking a lot about this Christianity. I've been thinking a lot about coming to Christ. And he said, when we get finished with this round of golf, he said, I believe I'm going to take you up on it. Brother Alvin, the man had no more said the words out of his mouth, and he began to stand up to go to the golf cart, and out of nowhere, a golf ball come flying through the air. Hit the man directly in the temple and killed him instantly. And he never got to finish the round of golf. Now look here, most importantly, he never got saved.
Amen.
Look here, if he had only known, he'd have never took the break halfway around. I look last of all. Now you be very careful at this point in the service now. We don't want you messing up somebody. I've been in services like this where the Holy Spirit hush it. If we'd only known last of all about the hereafter.
Amen.
If everybody in this room really knew about eternity, how different we would use our time. If we could pull back the veil of the future so that we could see the glory world of everybody in this room that is saved. But what if we could pull back the curtain, Brother Bob, of the future and see the misery of everybody in this room and outside this room that is still lost in your sin? What if God could pull the carpet back and the flooring back and take us down a few miles into the center of this earth and we saw the future of the hereafter? What would we do? One day, friend, we're all going to take our last look down here. And their eternity is going to open up for us. And time is going to be no more. And opportunities for all of us have then slipped past us. Now look here before we stand. Brother Curry, you mind coming and doing that song, He Came to Me? Now look here before we stand. Don't distract anybody. Here's the two greatest regrets you're going to have one day in eternity. The first one for some of you is going to be the fact that you knew the gospel. You came to this church or another church and you heard a preacher preach about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for your sins. And look here. You stood up on a Sunday morning with your heart pounding? Will the Holy Spirit of God ring in your heart's bell and you never picked up and said hello? And you walk out the door rejecting that love. Amen. But here's the second regret. Some of you know the Savior. And you never took advantage of an opportunity to tell anybody else about Him. And you're going to get a phone call one day when God told you to tell somebody about the Lord. And you didn't. And then you're going to be crying the rest of your life, if I'd only known. As we stand our feet today, many of us are like Jacob. It's one trial after another. One trouble. And if you'd be honest, at times that little voice that's not of God tells you just to give up. Tells you just to quit and give in. Some of you in this room, you've probably even thought about at times taking your own life because of the trials. Don't do that. Don't give in to the lies of the devil. Satan will steer you down a path that'll lead you to a Christless eternity if you're not careful. That's right, our altars are full today. That's good. Maybe whether you're on the pew or down here at the altar today, have you got some regrets in this life? Pour your heart out before the Lord today. He knows our heart. It doesn't hurt to shed a tear. It doesn't hurt to weep. God gave you tears for a reason. And some of you, if you're not careful, you're going to let your heart get so hard that them tears are not going to be able to flow properly. That's not good for you. It's not good for you at all. If you're here today and you're battling this thing of salvation, don't die without the Lord. You ought to be able to look anybody in the eye without any hesitancy and say, "Preacher, if I knew today that God's taken me out of this life, I'm prepared to meet Him. I know that I'm saved." And if you can't honestly say that, then this invitation's for you. I tell people this at a funeral. I tell people this at a wedding. I tell this when I preach at another church or at this church. I don't ever want people to leave a service that I preach that they don't have an opportunity to make a decision for Christ. I don't want your blood on my hands one day. I'm not mean-spirited. I love people. I care for people. When you preach the way I do, you put your heart in your message. I'm not one of them sugarcoating preachers and pastors. I'm going to tell you the truth whether you like it or not, because I want somebody telling me the truth. It's the truth that Jesus said will make you free, not a lie.